Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Where is Jesus? Where is God? Why is this happening? These are the questions that must have been plaguing the disciples of John in our gospel text for this morning. It must have seemed that the walls of their life were falling down all around them. But before we get into the why, does it ever feel that way for you? Certainly the events in the world can make us feel that way. Things had seemed to be going so well just a few years ago. Granted, I'm getting older, and some of you may not think my short time ago was that short time ago. But at any rate, I remember when I was growing up that the freedom of religion was celebrated. I remember being able to go outside with my friends and play cops and robbers and tag without my parents' supervision. And I didn't have to fear that my parents would be arrested from a neighbor calling them that I was being unsupervised. Now, I do realize that things were not perfect when I was younger. They have never been God's definition of perfect ever since the fall into sin. But there's those who might consider those times better than the ones that we find ourselves waking up to now. The freedom of religion so cherished in my youth is being challenged every day. And I'm not talking just about the Supreme Court decision, but that is definitely involved. There are also the days of the week that used to be held apart, holy almost. Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, you never ever had a sporting event or a club event on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night when I was growing up. Not the case anymore. Now that is not to say that sporting events and clubs are bad, but it does say that we as Christians must now prioritize our lives. It is good to get out and exercise, but it is also good to hear God's word, and so you must plan accordingly when you will do sports and when you will come to hear God's word. We must prioritize what is good. And I don't mean the good as in, oh, that was a good movie or that was a good song. I mean eternally good. I mean good news good. Gospel good. At convention earlier this week, it was said that the world can only give us bad news. But here in church, we receive good news. That is good. Is it good for you? As you consider these questions, we'll look at our gospel text from Mark. King Herod heard of it. Well, heard of what? Well, from just prior to our text, it was what the disciples of Jesus were doing. They were sent out, and they were healing many who were sick and anointing them with oil and doing all kinds of good works. But more importantly, the proclamation was going out that people should repent. Jesus' name had become known. Yet realize that Mark is giving us what was going on. In that day, they didn't know what was going on. There were all kinds of opinions flying as to who this Jesus was, just as there had been about John the Baptist himself. Some said John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he is Elijah. And others said he beheaded has been raised. Herod heard all of these things going on, and he deduced that John the Baptist, a man he knew was dead, who he himself had murdered, was after him, had been raised, had been resurrected. Now, it is possible for a person to be resurrected, but we know better than to think that John the Baptist would be going after him even if he had been raised. So Herod must have been feeling very guilty. It must have been plaguing him that he had put this man that he had known was holy and righteous to death. Herod missed the main point of what was happening. Jesus' name had become known. He was so terrified of John, even in his death, that he missed that Jesus was present. Are you ever so overcome by guilt that you don't recognize that Jesus is with you? Or are you, as John's disciples may have been, so saddened and confused by what had happened that you don't remember that Jesus is present? Now, it may not have been as bad for John's disciples when he had simply been arrested, but now he was dead. He had been beheaded. Why? Well, take a look at the text. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Herod seemed to be displaying at least the beginnings of faith in this passage. He may not have understood everything that John was saying, but he knew he was a holy and righteous man. We heard from Ezekiel a few weeks ago that Ezekiel was called to proclaim the word. And whether the people listened or not, they would know that a prophet of God had been among them. And so it was the case for John the Baptist. Herod knew that a prophet of God was with him. Yet Herod could not live as John was conveying that he should. He would not divorce Herodias, who was legally his brother's wife. Herod refused to live under God's dominion. Even today, many refuse to live under God. A convention, a slide was put up with several renowned scientist quotes about why they taught evolution. Do you know why? It was not because they thought that evolution was actually proper science, but because, as one of them put it, T. Nagel, they cannot bear to live in a world where God is in control. For those of you who have seen the movie God's Not Dead, it was very much like that, getting to see that slide on Monday morning. In God's Not Dead, there was a teacher that is teaching evolution and that God is dead. And it finally is questioned, how can you hate something that doesn't exist? You see, the student who was questioning him finally was able to prove at least that the professor hated God. And so he asked the question, how can you hate that which does not exist? And in the scriptures, it also comments on this. It says in Romans, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they know God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what about you, dear friends in Christ? Is there a particular sin or sins that you cannot let go of? Just as Herod was not able to give up Herodias. Will you refuse God's spirit and choose to live as you desire, refusing to admit that God even exists, rather than turn from that sin? Will you deny God as your creator and therefore ruler? But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. Herod watched his daughter dance and then vowed to give her anything that she wanted, up to half his kingdom. And the girl asked her mother, and she was all too eagerly demanded the head of John on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. So even Herod was saddened over John's death, as were John's disciples. And yet, Jesus' name had become known. Jesus was still present, and he was still in control. Sometimes God allows things to happen which are not so easy to understand, or even to bear. But even in the midst of these things, or in the midst of pleasant things, Jesus is always present. Should we be afraid then? Well, if you are continuing in unrepentant sin, yes. If, on the other hand, you are repentant and believe in Jesus, then you already know that your sins are forgiven. This is not because you were repentant as though that was some kind of work that you have done. Rather, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in you, bringing you to repentance and to faith in Jesus and all that he has done on the cross. For the sins of the entire world were paid for on the cross of Calvary. All of your sins. You were forgiven because Jesus would be the very one that John had preached to all of his disciples. Jesus would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Every sin, even Herod's murdering John the Baptist, is not only forgivable, but forgiven already. Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary has paid for every sin ever committed, for believer and unbeliever alike. You have been given God's Holy Spirit in His Word, and especially in the waters of holy baptism, so that you may know with certainty that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Through the Spirit, you can receive this truth by faith, and with this faith, you will be and are already assured that Jesus is still very much present. Whether in trouble from ruling parties or in times of peace, yet you need not fear Jesus' dominion, as he is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.